About 2,850 years ago, there was a prophet, and his name was Jonah. And he lived in a very difficult time, because in the nation of Israel, the leadership was somewhat corrupt. He served in the era of Jeroboam II, and Jeroboam was a king that didn't follow the ways of God, that often would lead the nation in ways that would mimic the practices of the pagan nations around them in areas of, you know, of child and animal sacrifice and all sorts of things that Jonah knew was wrong. So even as Jonah was dealing with issues inside the country that he was trying to speak up against and telling people to trust in the Lord afresh, he also had another great big problem to deal with, and that was the Assyrian Empire. If you can look on the map here, the Assyrian Empire would have covered the greater part of the Middle East, including Turkey and modern-day Iraq and much of Egypt and Saudi Arabia. It was a huge, huge empire, extremely powerful and extremely violent. And its capital city was a place called Nineveh. And so God spoke to Jonah and he said, "Jonah, I'd like you to go to Nineveh and preach against them because their wickedness has come up to me." They were very, very violent people that were known for, you know, this just extremely harsh treatment of the countries that they were trying to invade. They were like terrorists to the nation of Israel. Very, very violent people. And so Jonah hated them. Hated them. And so, you know, Jonah gets his command from the Lord, go and speak to the people of Nineveh. And he says, "No way, Yahweh, I'm going the other way." And Jonah, who, if you see that little red dot on the, I guess it'd be on the eastern side of the Mediterranean, the lower one, rather than going up to Nineveh, which is in about 200 miles north of modern-day Baghdad in Iraq, he went to the far end of the known world. He took a ship bound for Tarsus, which is on the outside edge of modern-day Spain. Or from his perspective, this would be a ship to the middle of nowhere. I mean, he was just going as far away as he possibly could from what God was telling him to do. So he's in the middle of the Mediterranean Ocean now. You know, here's this guy from Galilee. You know, he's a sheep and goat herder, you know, that happens to be a prophet. And he's in a boat with all these experienced sailors, and they are in the midst of a storm that is so bad, that is so bad that the sailors are throwing all their stuff overboard. You know this is a bad storm. Sailors don't do that. And this storm was so bad that the sailors realized this is not a regular storm. This is a message from God. And as the sailors talked to each other and they kind of interviewed the different passengers, "Hey, have you done anything to anger God?" Jonah fesses up and he says, "I'm kind of running away from him right now." And he realizes that this storm that threatens the life of everybody on the boat, this is a message from God that he's been ignoring. And he doesn't want to pay attention because he doesn't want to go to Nineveh. Absolutely doesn't want to go to Nineveh. So he says, "Well, hey, you can stop the storm by doing this. You can throw me overboard. Just kill me. Just throw me overboard. Middle of the Mediterranean Ocean, throw me overboard." And so the sailors reluctantly do. And as we move into chapter 2, Jonah is in the middle of the Mediterranean Ocean. He is sinking down, and he writes a poem. Well, yeah, actually, it's the entirety of Jonah chapter 2. And we're going to do a scripture reading in just a moment that is a little bit different. This is actually Jonah chapter 2 in its entirety set to music. And there's a little music video that goes along with it. And I'm wondering if we could kind of dim the lights and I just want you to kind of let the words soak in, because what we're trying to do today is we're trying to journey with Jonah in what he experienced and how God, as you, here's a one little bit of a plot kicker for you, turned his heart around. So let's just listen to Jonah chapter 2 and listen to how God turned his heart around. "I cried out of my anguish the Lord of creation, and he answered me, and he answered me. Out of the valley of death,
cried out for salvation, and you heard my voice. You have got me to be thrown into the deep.
So this prophet, this rebellious prophet whose life at this point had been marked by active rebellion against God, he was running as far and as fast as he can away from what God told him to do. He's apathetic. He doesn't even care about the other people in his boat. He's been, he's asleep. Everybody's about to die and he doesn't give a rip. His life gets totally turned around. And you hear in this poem that he's writing from the belly of the fish, you hear gratitude. You hear this heart change. And so we ask, why? Why did this happen? And I think the answer is actually fairly obvious. It's that he realized he was about to die, and he didn't. From his perspective, life was completely hopeless. He was in the middle of the Mediterranean Ocean, sinking, and God sent a very unusual lifeguard. A fish. I'm just a thing on the fish, because people sometimes get really hung up on the whole fish and Jonah thing. And you know, the Hebrew word for fish is a very flexible word, because, you know, Hebrews are, you know, they tend to be sheep and goat people. So the word fish encompasses everything that lives in the water that's not a clam, a crab, or a lobster. So fish is a fairly broad category. So it could be a whale, could be a shark, could be some sort of a sea creature or some sort of thing. And let's put it this way. When I was in a Hebrew class, studying the book of Jonah, actually with one of the guys that's one of the more, I guess he's one of the kind of world's experts on the book. He's, you know, written some commentaries and stuff like that. And we said, you know, Dr. Bruckner, was the fish in Jonah, was that a fish? Was that a whale? Was that a literal fish? You know, what do people make of this? And this person that has spent, you know, years and years of his life studying the book of Jonah, he looked back at us and he said, I don't know. So that's good enough for me. And look at it this way. Anything that got him from the middle of the Mediterranean Ocean in a storm so bad that sailors were throwing their stuff overboard to the edge of the sea alive was a miracle, right? Anything. Any answer would be a miracle. And the only person that was there was Jonah, and he said it was a fish. So I don't know what that means, but that's a story. Don't let that part of the story trip you up on in terms of hearing the point of the story, which is this: life change. Jonah's life is completely turned around. He moves from apathy to gratitude, from rebellion to obedience, because he realized his life was hopeless unless God intervened. Question that haunts me as we look at this chapter is, why are our lives so often not marked by gratitude and obedience? I mean, I get upset if my internet connection is slow. I was part of a men's work party yesterday on the field. It was really fun because I love all these guys. We're working really hard. And they gave me the assignment of going shopping. You know, I had to go buy the supplies. And if you know anything about me, I hate shopping. I love my wife because she does all the shopping in the family. I cannot stand shopping. There's old Radio Shack ad, get in, get out, get what you need. I mean, that speaks to my soul. Just in, out. I hate shopping. So I took one for the team, and I was a little bit perturbed because I wasn't able to do what I wanted to do in the work party. Isn't that weird? How easily we move out of places of gratitude in our life. And the reason why that happens, I believe, is that like Jonah, we take for granted what we've been given. Jonah's sense of gratitude, his sense of obedience happened when he remembered, when it became extremely crystal clear to him how much he had been saved from. This guy was a goner, and he lived. So the question I want us to struggle with today, to wrestle through, is what have you been saved from? What have you been saved from? Because if you wrestle that question to the ground, it will change your heart, and it will put you in the place to answer this next question, which is just as important. What have you been saved for? What have you been saved from, and what have you been saved for? I want you to hear another story. We just, you know, looked at Jonah's story from Scripture. I want you to hear a story of what life change looks like nowadays. And from someone in our own congregation, Amber has agreed to kind of give her testimony. She's been a very dear part of our church on a regular basis for a month now, but she's been a part of the relationships of our church for much, much longer. And she's got a story that you need to hear.
My name's Amber. I'm a grateful recovering heroin and meth addict who has been saved by the grace of God. On May 31st, 2009, I abandoned my children and started selling cocaine and heroin so I could sit in a little room and numb the pain from my past. Until my addiction got so out of control, I could no longer even step outside because I was so scared of life. Until one day when the only way I could get my next fix was to go to Serve Wenatchee and get food for the drug house I was living in. This is when God sent his angels to help save me. I had a food voucher in my hand and was on my way out the door when Leah simply asked, "Amber, what's going on in your life?" No one had ever asked me a question like this before. For once, somebody cared about me. Not what I was doing for them or what I had for them, but about me. With that one simple question that God put in her, my life changed. I told her my story, my hurt, my pain, and my past. And at the same moment, I felt a huge sense of peace. In the next hour, God provided me a safe place to live, clean clothes, and most of all, people that cared about me. I had been blessed with everything I needed and shortly after went into treatment. This was all by the grace of God. While in treatment, I asked God to take total control of my life. I graduated 30 days earlier than what I was recommended, and when I left, God spoke to so many others through me. I went from praying for God to take my life to praying for God to touch others' lives through me. I no longer needed drugs and attention to ease my pain because I now have the love of my Heavenly Father. If you're an addict or know an addict, I encourage you to ask God, what is truly going on in my life or in the life of another, and what should I do about it? Then listen closely to his answer. Keep the faith, move forward, and be that change that someone is longing for. And be an angel of God to help a soul in dire need of a father's love and acceptance. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and overcome a multitude of sins, James 5:20. And I wanted to say thank you to a couple people. I want to thank Pastor Andrew for taking the time when I hit my rock bottom and giving me hope and strength. And I want to thank Dave and Linda Belton for picking me up when I hit bottom and walking this journey with me. And I want to thank Marianne for being such a shining star in my life. And I want to thank Evan for showing me what a true friend is. Thank you.
Thanks, Amber. We are so proud of you. Can we just pray for you? Lord, we want to thank you for what you've done in Amber's life and how you have taken a story and a woman that was heading in directions that were so destructive, and you have turned her around. You've redeemed her. You've given her a new life. You've given her hope. You've given her a ministry. God, thank you for bringing her to our church. Thank you that we get to come alongside and just watch what the power of God can do. We just bless you, God, for what you are doing in her and through her. In Jesus' name, amen. And we're so proud of you. Now, in Jonah's story, the life change is very dramatic. In Amber's story, it's kind of dramatic as well. But all of us need to remember, what have you been saved from? And what have you been saved for? So I'd like to do something a little bit different with the latter part of the message here. Because it's one thing to hear it, it's another thing to make that personal. So in the next few minutes, I'm going to ask you to do something. You don't have to do this if you really don't want to. That's you know, we don't force anybody to do anything here. But I would invite you to do this. Over on this wall, we've got, under the words, saved from, there's all sorts of words. There's even places where you can write in your own words. Sickness, lust, gluttony, racism, financial ruin, addiction, an accident. There's a whole bunch of words. And I don't know if you can all see them, and maybe we can bring the house lights up a little bit more. But I'd like you in the next few minutes just to take a walk around the room, okay? You start over here. The question is, what has God saved you from? If it were not for Christ, if it were not for what Jesus has done in your life and what his power can do in your life, which of these words would define you apart from Christ? And this is the reason you've got a pen in your hand and there's pens hanging on the wall if you don't have a pen in your hand. Is as you walk by some of these words, you go, you know what? If it weren't for Jesus, that would be me. I'd like you to make a mark on it. So for some of you, as you know, your mark might be on the word addiction. If it weren't for Jesus, that would mark my life. If it weren't for Jesus, lust would mark my life. If it weren't for Jesus, judgment would mark my life. If it weren't for Jesus, hell would be my destiny. If it weren't for Jesus, anger would consume me. What has God saved you from? But that's not the end of the journey, because we start there and we walk over here. Or we run. If you're me, you run. All right. What has God saved you for? God put you on this earth for a purpose, and as he redeems you, he calls you. And so I want you to look at this wall a little bit. And again, we've got blank spaces if some of these words don't really define you well enough. But for maybe for one or two or three or whatever of these words that really capture your heart, you know, what has God saved you for? He saved me for generosity or service or, you know, or more my name is written, worship, mercy, intimacy, courage, evangelism, or whatever the word is. I want you to sign your name by that word, because that's your destiny. That's what Christ is doing in you. He saved you from that for that, just like Jonah. Just like Jonah. And we need to make it personal, because as we connect again with that truth, that reality, that's where we find gratitude. That's what makes us truly, truly, you know, grateful. That's the word I'm looking for. Thank you. Because here's the thing in our culture, and it's so sick and weird. When I'm comparing me to the people around me, to other human beings, I can always find a way to spin the story so I look good. If I'm just comparing me to everybody else in the world, I can always find somebody that's worse than me. I can use these seven words that are toxin to the soul. At least I'm not as bad as. I compare myself to other people and I make me look good. And so I feel really good, and I feel like, you know, I don't really have that much that I need to be saved from. Problem is, I'm looking at the wrong measuring stick. Let me just make it personal. When I compare myself to the holiness of God, to the life of Jesus, look at me, folks. I am a wretched, disgusting, self-centered little creature. And if God has any sense of justice in this world, he should send me to hell. Now, when I can spin that in a lot of different ways for myself, you know, oh gosh, I'm at least in a lot as bad as, you know, Hitler, I don't know. Whatever it is, I can find somebody that's worse than me that I can make myself feel good in comparison to. But when I compare myself to the holiness of God, I have fallen short, so far short, that the only justice in this universe is to send me to hell. That's the only justice in this universe. I am that bad. I am that bad. Now, some of you don't believe that. You're kind of pushing back on all those kind of things because you don't want to believe it about yourself. But the Bible says that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And it's when we come in contact with that reality that wall makes sense. I deserve to go to hell, but Jesus died to save me from it. I deserve for my life to be marked by lust and pride and anger and self-centeredness. But Jesus came and he has redeemed me and he has changed me and saved me for something so much greater. And so I would challenge you, whether you stay seated or in these next moments, to kind of walk around the room, to interact with that, make that personal, wrestle with that. What has God saved you from? And what has God saved you for? There's going to be some music for a few minutes. We're going to kind of, you know, a couple of worship songs. And, you know, while those worship songs are playing, I'd invite you to just get up, take your pen, walk around the room. And if there's one or two or three words over there that you go, you know, if it weren't for Jesus, that would be me. That would be the things that mark my life. Just put an X on it. And as you walk around the room to these things, what has God saved you for? Sign it. These are the things that mark my life now. This is my identity in Christ, and these are things that He put me on the planet for. Okay? That kind of makes sense? Yeah? Yeah? All right. Well, let's pray, and then we're going to have a time of worship. You can kind of sing along, and we'll just kind of interact with these stations. Lord, thank you for the story of Jonah and the way that you changed his life. And we thank you now for the story that you're doing in us and how you've changed our lives, how you've redeemed us from the pit. You have taken our lives from places of spiritual hopelessness. And by Jesus, you have put us in places of grace and hope and mission and mercy and a whole bunch of other things that we're going to be personally interacting with. And Lord, we pray that your Spirit would work so powerfully in this time of reminding us of where we've come from, so that you can seal in us the truth of where we're going. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sacrifice of faith.